Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Windows Vista sucks.
You think?
To clarify some points, it's not that it's ugly, it's just not beautiful.
Okay.
Does that kind of put perspective on my nitpicking, as it's been called? Which I feel I've been unfairly attacked, by the way. Not by you, necessarily.
Exactly, because I think I was far more nuanced in my response.
Except you were wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You were wrong.
You and I were saying exactly the same thing. We were just coming at it from different points of view.
No, I was right. You can't resize the... did you try opening up the task manager like I asked you to do?
Yeah.
And?
The setting doesn't stick.
Exactly. This is my point. The setting doesn't stick.
But that's not what you... But you said there's no way to change it. Go back and read the original.
Okay,
you said there's no way to get rid of that horizontal bar.
Then it's a battle of semantics, because what I'm saying is it doesn't change. The scroll bar still stays there. In that sense, it doesn't change.
Yeah, and I guess my point is, on the list of things that need to be fixed in Windows... That is priority number, like 1,387.
But Ed, here's the problem, is that all those priorities stay to the last minute, and when Microsoft's running around in the 11th hour, like they've been doing since, at least, 18 WinHex ago when they first started talking about Vista or Wall.
Let's go back to 1986.
Right.
We could probably go back to then.
But this particular issue has been around since Windows 2000.
Right.
At least, Windows 2000. So that's 7 years this thing's been around.
This is where we completely agree. And this is where I think, and I know you'll take this the right way, because you love me.
Yes.
I think you're getting played.
Wait a
by
minute.
By Microsoft.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you think I'm getting played?
I think, and so am I, and so are a whole bunch of beta testers, and so is every Windows user. Because here's how it goes. You're going to be, this is radio, so I can't see, but I'll bet you're going to be nodding your head as I say this. Okay? You've beta tested things, I've beta tested things. We filed bug reports, like the one that you're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft says, too late to get this in this product, but this is going to go on the list for the next release.
Right.
And
he's
then,
nodding.
And so what happens is, then they start working on the next one, and they do it completely in secret. You and I and all those other beta testers and all those Windows customers don't get to see that until it comes out in the beta. And then we go, wow, you didn't fix that thing that you said you were going to fix. And they go, oh, yeah, right, file a bug report. And you file a bug report, and then it gets down to beta 2, and they go, sorry, it's too late to fix it. They're right that it's too late to fix. They're wrong because when you filed that original one way back when, and they said, we'll get to it later. They actually put it, remember at the end of the first Indiana Jones movie when they had that forklift and the big box, and they just put it, they put the Ark or whatever it is up on a shelf in a warehouse and nobody pays attention to it?
Yeah.
That's what's happening to all those visual, non-essential, non-priority one.
No, see, but I understand that. I agree with you. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you in the sense that I do not think these are inessential bugs. I think they're very important. I think all these visual elements inside of Windows are extremely important. Now, not the geeks who and developers who are calling my stuff nitpicking.
Right.
They're pissing me off. I mean, they really. If you wanna get me to shut up, the last thing you want to do is call me a nitpicker.
Right.
Because everything that I'm complaining about since I've come forward, I've had people say, thank God someone else sees this stuff.
I used the word nitpicking.
No, you didn't. No.
Okay. And so here's the thing. Here's where I think you're right, and I think we completely agree, is that right now Jim Alchin runs the Windows Group, right?
Right.
And Steven Sinofsky is going to take over the Windows Group as soon as Alchin retires. Vista ships and Alchin retires, and they have, a big party, ice cream and cake, and he's out the door.
Which I'm sure I'm not going to be invited to at this point.
we can sneak you in there.
Yeah, sure.
But when that happens, what needs to happen for you to get your wish, and believe me, I would like to see you get your wish, because I'd like to see Windows be more sophisticated and polished and dazzling right, than it is right now. I mean, right now it's the difference between, you know, a Chevy and a Ferrari. You know, it's kind of a Chevy. You go, it's kind of, it gets you from point A to point B, but it's got some ugliness in it. But what Sinofsky needs to do when he takes over is he needs to give somebody ownership of the interface, and in particular, the fit and finish of the interface.
Well, see, I thought that's what they were doing now.
But who is, because look, if nobody owns it, it doesn't get done, right?
That's kind of apparent.
Right.
Well, wait. I'm working, actually, this weekend. I'm getting together with Lily Cheng and a handful of other people who apparently are in charge of UI in Vista, and we're going to be filing bugs over dinner.
Oh, good.
I don't know if this is the person who's in charge, necessarily, of the whole, of everything, but there's certainly, I mean, my posts have made the rounds internally.
Well, I mean, you know, from a PR point of view, they would love to have a victory, and I'm not saying this to minimize anything that you're doing or anything that Microsoft is doing in response, because both of those are good things, okay? And what they're going to do is, what they want to do is respond to as many of them as they can, and if they can check a bunch of those things off the list, they're going to make you feel better. You know, you're more likely to write nice things about it later and say, hey, they listened to me. But you know, and I know, that if you did that first list overnight, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff, I mean, I know, and as you pointed out, you know, some of the things aren't necessarily bugs or issues, they may be features and feedback, because it was a stream of consciousness type of thing.
Exactly, and the second thing was the stream of consciousness, you know, get a good night's sleep, look at it again, and say, holy crap, there's 65 more things, 67, 68 more things here, you know. And the thing is, if you were to take a month and do that, you know, if somebody were to, like, lock you in a room and say all you can do is do this, you know, you'd be a blithering crazy man at the end of it, but you'd come out with probably 1,500, 2,000, I don't know, 20,000 things on that list, all of which are little things that have to be fixed after the fact, where somebody has to go back into some code
and
fix it.
But this is my problem, is that all these little things add up. And when I laughed my ass off. I'm looking at some of the stuff, I'm like,
yeah,
what were these guys smoking? No, Ed, I'm serious. It's inexcusable, beyond inexcusable, that in the new Start menu, which I believe has pretty decent functionality, and there's some good future in it.
Yeah.
I thought it was inexcusable that you got the All Programs thing, you could either hover over it, you press the button, and then it switches, it transmogrifies and shows a different menu.
Right.
The dividing bar, the pixel length actually changes. A divider actually changes length during this process.
Where are you seeing? You mean above the back and all programs?
No. Yeah. Okay. So in the latest build, at least beta 2 of Windows Vista.
Okay.
Start menu. The All Programs. You know that press that. It's a non-button, but it's a button.
Yeah. It says All Programs.
And then watch the dividing bar. Just look at one end of the dividing bar as you press that button. Toggle it on and off.
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you see it?
Right. There's like 3 pixels.
I am not going to spend my hard-earned money, and some people would say it's not very hard-earned, but I'm not going to spend anything on an operating system that has that kind of level of quality in it. And this is the kind of thing that you know, like you're saying, this thing slips. And I'm like, no, it doesn't slip. And let me tell you, if Apple can get it right, Microsoft has absolutely no excuse.
But here's, well, I'm not,
no
I'm
excuse,
not making an
Ed.
Excuse. But let me explain how it's going to, because it's going to, here's my point about you sitting down and going over this for 30 days, and you could find 20,000 little things like that in there. And here's why. It goes back to what I said before. Nobody owns the interface. Nobody at a high level owns the interface. What you've got right now, Windows is built.
So why don't they hire me? Oh, believe me, man.
You're stealing my punchline. My punchline is they should hire somebody just like you. It would be you, except, you know, you'd last there 2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
I
would get eaten alive.
Maybe a month. If they hired the two of us at the same time, it would be a race to see which one of us got thrown off the top of building
fired.
31st.
I would get fired pretty damn quick. They couldn't afford me anyway, so I don't think
and frankly, we're probably more useful as outside gadflies. But I guess my point is, so Windows is built by, you know, pick a number of how many different teams that are responsible for different areas of technology and
but
features.
Wait.
And so, wait. And so each one of them has a sort of a different level of sensitivity to visual issues.
Stop. Wait. Microsoft issued, I knew you were going there, Ed, and
yep.
Microsoft issued Aero guidelines long ago where they said every single font is going to be SIGO UI.
Yeah.
Every single pixel is going to be this way. The padding's going to be this way. The padding's going to be this way. And even in beta stages, this document made sense. And I'm looking at beta 2 of Vista, and Microsoft can't even follow Microsoft's own guidelines. I don't want to hear this shit, Ed. I'm serious.
But you're proving my point exactly. You're proving my point exactly, which is that so let's say that there's a four person team, you, me, Jake, and some other guy, you know, who are
Can I be it? I'm
who
Ben,
are responsible
I'm
for like you know some widget somewhere in there. And you know what? We're kind of a slack off team, and none of us have a very good visual eye, and we didn't really memorize the guidelines, and we got it mostly right, but we got a few little details wrong, and so we checked our code in, right? And nobody up there did a visual review on it, to send it back to us and say sorry, unacceptable. Doesn't get integrated into the build until you fix these things.
Oh man,
that's
you know what?
They
I'm
need.
Telling you, Microsoft. I'm telling you, as much money as Microsoft's going to make from this version of Windows, they could afford me. They could afford me to come in there and.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
if I notice three pixels in the frickin' start menu, I mean, there's seriously nothing that slips by my radar as far as UI goes. Nothing.
But somebody has to make that commitment. To do it, can you see the fact that you can find all these mistakes? You definitely don't want to be in the position of fixing thousands of mistakes at the end of the process.
Okay,
right?
But this is but Ed, it just keeps slipping and it keeps slipping and it keeps slipping, and they're not paying attention.
Right.
Microsoft, I swear to God, and I don't know, I've never worked at Microsoft, but they have a mantra where. Develop cool, interesting features, get the product out there, forget what it looks like.
Yep.
And I swear to God, very seldom will you see a product get released with Microsoft's name stamped on it. That's a very, very good product. I mean, visually, aesthetically, feature-wise, they're few and far between. Very few and far between.
That are good?
Yeah. I seriously, very, I mean, just elegant, nice, useful, I mean, just really an example of a really solid program, a really solid utility that is not troublesome in some way, shape, or form in the department of UI.
Right.
And the web, admittedly, has softened my edge as far as user experience on the desktop is concerned. Because now, instead of downloading something, I'll look for a web utility. I'm a lot more forgiving with web utilities than I am with desktop applications. Far and away.
Especially because people building web utilities need to build them for a lowest common denominator, work with multiple browsers, work with multiple resolutions.
Well, it's the theme, right? It's the theme of Windows that has always because that's my interface. That's my gateway to everything else.
Right.
And if I see inconsistencies. It bothers me. I mean, maybe it's my anal retentive nature.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I get called out. And so the people who are, you know, calling me a nitpicker aren't that's not my audience. That's not the people I want to be talking to, because those are the people who are causing the problem. Those are the people who don't see the three pixel differences and think, oh, it's fine, it's just functional. I'm like, well, if you believe that, you should be using Linux.
Well, but, you know, so there's different talents that people have, because somebody who has a great eye for UI consistency might not know beans about security or about writing efficient code or performance.
I agree.
Or something.
I agree.
So in the build process for Windows with this team oriented thing where teams are responsible for different features and then things get checked in together and built together, that is a recipe for inconsistency if you don't have somebody who is in charge of enforcing a consistent UI, not just putting out a set of guidelines.
You're telling me, if I get this right, nobody's in charge of UI, even though they got a UI team and they have guidelines. No one's in charge of this stuff. Is that
what
I'm hearing?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm guessing. Hey, you know, my guess is that someone was in charge of it,
right.
and that's usually in the QA department. And I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, but I think the people that are going through QA, as far as a user interface is concerned, they're not doing their job. I should not be seeing this stuff in late betas. This is early alpha stuff.
I know a lot of the folks on the UI and UX teams. I've had meetings with them, and they're really smart and really good people. But what you're seeing of their work is you're seeing them getting involved at the design phase, which is at the beginning.
Right.
And then their stuff gets pushed out to the development teams, which have to incorporate it and will change it in the process, right? And rarely for the better, because developers aren't designers.
I know.
Okay?
So then
at the other end of the process, you've got QA. But QA's job is to find mistakes and fix them. And if the process is working correctly, you have as few mistakes as possible getting to QA. The sheer number of interface errors and inconsistencies that you're finding means that QA is going to be overwhelmed. And QA should not be fixing UI inconsistencies. UI inconsistencies should be fixed at the time the code is checked in by a team.
So then no one's checking it.
Exactly right. You got design and you got QA, but you don't have anybody who's in engineering. Because engineering is focused, and rightly so, they're focused on security, performance, and reliability.
And I'm not trying to mitigate those qualities of a product.
All of those things are super important, and probably more important than the 99th percentile of UI consistency, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
But that being said, as far as usability is concerned, if Microsoft really wants to take a leap forward, this is the area they can do it. And they're not. And they don't see it as an area they need to do it. I'm like, what, you think the iPod just came, just became popular because it could play music? No. It's sexy. People want to have sex with their iPods. If they could, they would. In fact, I wouldn't doubt it right now. If right now someone's having sex with their iPod.
You know, I'm so glad this is radio. I'd hate to see that picture.
Well, it's actually happening in the other room. Sex sells, and unfortunately, Microsoft's the $2 hooker.
Right. I mean, you don't. Yeah, because when you get up close to it, you see, 10 layers of
makeup and just pock marks,
and you get from $2 hookers viruses.
Oh, there we go. Walked right into that one.
Boom.
I will give, like I said, Vista, I'm not going to call it ugly, but it's just not beautiful. And that's where I'm disappointed. And I think the email that I got back from Jim Alchin in response to my original list and how everything that's come from it, because it really resonates with a lot of people, what I've written. You know, they're frustrated too, because this is why I'm being... I guess so short about it at this point is that I've been waiting 7 years.
Exactly right, and you're getting squeezed. Like I said in the middle, at the beginning, you're getting played. You're getting squeezed here. So now at the very end, you can fix a few things, but you can't make it good.
Yeah, they can. They could easily issue a service pack for UI. Easily, they could do that, but they're not going to because they're lazy. They don't need to. Nah, they don't need to. Who cares?
Well,
I'm telling you.
Do we have 10 minutes to talk over that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the trouble with a service pack for UI is that every aspect of the code libraries that you're talking about that affect the UI are potential entry points for bugs, viruses, intruders.
Wait a minute. You're telling me making a call between Tahoma and Seago UI is going to introduce a security problem?
The library that does that could. What appears to be a single inconsequential change of code can have a ripple effect that can... I mean, look, the a little change in the library for viewing Windows metafiles, right? Just a little graphic viewer thing became an entree for putting Trojan horses on people's systems. You, every bit of code that gets introduced in Windows has to go through compatibility, reliability, and security testing. You can't not do that. And so at the time, so you can't separate out a visual service pack from a bug fix service pack. You'd have to do, now I agree with you. What they should do is say, okay, this is what we're going to ship right now, but in the next release, we're going to get things right. We're not going to introduce any new features. We're going to roll up any bug fixes and security patches that we have, but we're also going to concentrate on making improvements to the UI that people love. And that's where you can get not just
issues, but feature requests. Right. I would be vindicated. I would be 110% vindicated at that point.
And here's what you have to do when you go in and you have your meeting with Lily Cheng and with Alchin and ultimately with Sinofsky, and hell, invite me up for it. I'll come along with you.
Yeah, right, because Steve's going to want to meet with me now.
I don't see why not. You know, you get a big megaphone, buddy.
I'm only doing it because I care. You know,
exactly.
I could sit here and fire holes in OS X all day long. I don't care.
Exactly. So when you go in there, but I think the point to make is to say, look, I could come up with a list of 20,000 more of these things, but I'd be wasting my time and I'd be wasting your time. I shouldn't be finding these things. You should have a very senior person on the Windows team who should be finding these things when code is checked in and should be kicking them back to the dev teams and getting them fixed before they're checked in.
And they need to do the same damn thing with Office. You saw my list of Outlook problems, didn't you?
Yep.
That's likely never to be fixed, ever. I swear to God, I can't talk to anybody in Outlook. I try to tell them. I try to warn. And by the way, I've already been kind of vindicated in that sense. In this latest release of the big thing, remember all my complaints? You could probably look up all my Outlook complaints. One of the biggest screw-ups Microsoft made, and I've called them on it since day one, was merging the functionality of their client. Exchange and Internet do not work together. And that's exactly what they did past the version that I use, Outlook 2000. In Outlook 2000, you either use it in Internet mode or in Workgroup mode. And there the tween shall mix. Now, in XP, the first screwed-up version of Outlook, if you don't count Outlook 97, which is just kind of the first version, which is going to be screwed up to begin with, it was the first version, in the later versions of Outlook, that merged those two functions together, Outlook Internet and Outlook Corporate, or Exchange
Mode. Right, Corporate mode and Internet mode.
Right. Well, if you look at Outlook 2007, the new one, they've split it out again. I was right, Ed! I was right to a fault. To a fault. People called me crazy for saying the things I did. I was 110% right. Everything that I say, there's a reason for it. I'm not doing it to necessarily sensationalize or necessarily drive traffic. I'm doing it because I'm trying to make the product better. I want to upgrade to the new version of Outlook. I want to so badly. It's not even funny.
Because you're sick of Outlook 2000.
I am. It's old.
It's old.
It works. It's fast. It's functional. It does the job. And unfortunately, the newer versions of Outlook suck. And they suck for a reason. And they fixed some of that suckiness in Outlook 2007. But they haven't done enough. And they could. They could easily do it. It's a pixel here, it's a pixel there. It's adding a toggle here. It's making a registry change here.
But it's getting somebody who sees that before you do.
Oh, I would love that. I would love if Microsoft did that. And it's not. And
that's the only way. That's the only way you're
going
to.
But it's not like they don't have the resources, Ed. That's the thing that drives me up the wall. Is people say, "What, you know, Teams and blah blah blah." Like, what you're telling me, Microsoft doesn't have any money?
No, it isn't about money. It's about people. I'll tell you for a fact. There's where I hate to say this, but you're wrong on this one. Just this one time, you're wrong. There's all the money in the world won't get you better code. You can't just go out and hire. You know, you can't just go down to a temp agency and hire developers who will write you brilliant code and designers who will turn your vision into something that works and is beautiful and sexy. Small teams are actually better. I mean, you know, mini Microsoft, right? You know, that was his, that's what he's been preaching for all this time, and it's absolutely true. Just adding more people to it usually just makes a bigger mess.
But who's going to be responsible if we don't add more people to it?
Usually it's a matter of getting somebody in management to focus on the issues that are more important, elevate the priorities and such, stop trying to throw crappy features in, and concentrate on getting the architecture working and the design good. You know, but somebody has to make those a priority. You know, because right now, what happens right now is that, like, you know, people like you and me and, you know, 2,000 others who have megaphones of various sizes write things asking for, you know, this feature or this fix or that fix. And a lot of times it's the PR thing to, you know, respond to those. I mean, I can actually remember features like in Windows, you know, in older versions of Windows, where there was some meeting that I had where somebody wrote something down, and the next build that I saw, the issue that I yacked about got fixed. And it was fixed so that, you know, so that that wouldn't be in my review. But
see, I think it's the wrong way to approach it.
That is absolutely the wrong way to approach it.
That's not, that will not make me happy. That will not make you happy.
You need to have, you want to have somebody in charge there, in a senior management role, who has the same attitude towards quality that you do and is going to drive that down to the bottom and then back up through the process.
Man, you know, Windows could be, you want to talk about something revolutionary, that could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, because there, I could complain about OS X. I mean, there are things that are, I'm not saying that OS X is perfect, it's not, but there are certain elements in OS X that make it more perfect than Windows.
Well, yeah, and
as far as user interface and design is concerned, there are quite a few things.
And you want to know three reasons why that occurs? Number one, they have a very limited hardware set to work with. That is a huge advantage.
How the hell does hardware have anything to do with UI? I guess I'm referring to UI in this respect. I'm not talking about
because right now at Microsoft you have 10 developers for every feature working on just making sure, just designing in compatibility and making sure that they work with every funky driver and device and chipset and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
a lot
but
of,
they're common dialogues for a reason.
Yeah, but still, I'm talking about the size of the engineering staff.
There are common dialogues for a reason, and they need to design against those. They can't. This is the thing. They've taken a Frankenstein experience and made it worse with Windows Vista.
Okay. Well, one. Okay. So, but that's one. Number two is the Apple dev team is smaller. Smaller is better, and it's smaller because it has to deal with less with a smaller hardware universe. That's my point. They can concentrate.
Well, I understand that they have a smaller hardware universe to deal with. I think it's been somewhat, leveled out with, you know, USB devices and better driver support over time, and now you've got the Intel platform that they're both going to be developing against. I'm not as inclined to believe that. I think it's an ethic thing.
Yes,
an ethos.
It's an ethos thing. Right. It's an ethos thing, but it's made easier by the logistics of it.
I disagree. I think the ethos transcends logistics. I really believe that. If the ethos of a company is design beautifully, then that's the ethos.
Well,
beauty scales.
We've been arguing the same thing here, and I'm agreeing with you that nobody at Microsoft owns the interface. So in essence, I'm saying the same thing that you are.
Well,
but that in and of itself. The Windows world is always, I mean, one of the big advantages of it is the universe of hardware possibilities that you have. And I'm talking about motherboards and chipsets and video cards. And,
well, but I don't necessarily think that that's a great thing.
Well,
I may have at one time, but yeah. I don't necessarily think that's a great thing.
It is the source of many, many, many problems. Right, but it's also a reality. You can't just say, okay, look, you want Windows to be beautiful? Microsoft, buys Dell or somebody, and start saying, you know what, the next version of Windows will only be sold on Microsoft hardware. Here are the six designs that we're going to have, just like Apple does, and you know it'll support any device that plugs into a USB port. We'll provide drivers for it and all that. But boy, you could simplify the process one hell of a lot. You did that.
It's not necessarily the answer.
No,
it's not necessarily part of it. It still goes back to the ethos.
Absolutely.
The belief that, getting back to the OS X thing, it isn't 100% perfect. Even
nope.
Apple has issues with consistency of UI, and it has. This has been complained about by OS X fanatics.
Right.
Like, are you going with brushed metal? Are you going with this? Are you going with that? Which one are you going with, Apple? Just pick something and stick with it. And they're just as upset with Apple as we are with Microsoft. I think
right.
Apple has less UI flaws to worry about than does Microsoft.
They have a much greater concentration on design, and they build the beauty of the design into the process, period.
So
right?
What can Microsoft then learn from Apple? How does Apple do it? I mean, does Apple have a top UI guy, or is that just everywhere? It's just known that you're not going to make something look like.
I don't know.
Shit.
I haven't been to Cupertino in 10 years, so I couldn't tell you. You know, I couldn't tell you what the issue is here. I'll tell you the other thing they do though is they don't have a lot of external beta testing either.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get a lot of external feedback. They put the stuff out there and then you know they get criticized for it, but they don't do 3-year beta tests the way Microsoft does and take all this criticism and feedback. And it's an open question whether which approach works better. But
certainly I'm happy that Microsoft is allowing people the opportunity to give feedback. It's a question of what feedback are they going to prioritize.
Exactly.
And that's where it gets frustrating because that's, you know, as I talked about, it's kind of like it's a vicious circle where I get told I got to wait until the next cycle. I'm like, no, I'm tired of it. I'm not going to wait. I've been waiting for the next cycle for Outlook since 2000.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but the only way you're ever going to get satisfaction from this, I mean, look, they're right. Right now, the larger issue of what you're talking about, they can fix a bunch of the stuff on your list, but you could kill them. If you expanded your list too much, but they can fix the stuff that's on their list. But really, all they're doing is going through and repainting the body of the vehicle.
Well, but that's what they need to do. Otherwise, they will have missed their. I mean, talk about missing marks. They will have missed a major mark with UI. If as they said in their own Aero guidelines,
right.
Their own. Which is public knowledge. I mean, you can download the document, look at it for yourself.
Absolutely.
If Vista ships without them adhering to their own guidelines, I just can't help but thinking there is no captain to this ship.
Yeah.
I mean...
So the question to ask when you go and have those meetings on campus next week is, how did these things ever get checked into code?
I think they're organizing UI differently. They're handling UI as an afterthought. I really do, and I'm not saying that the UI team isn't doing their job.
So
I think
in other words,
the UI team is
I'm
doing
right.
their job.
You're saying
I'm not
I'm
saying
right.
You may be right.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Well,
but
you know, if you're saying that there's nobody in charge, I can't argue that. If you're saying there's nobody in charge, if that's gospel truth, then you are right in that respect.
The results speak for themselves, don't they?
Well, that, but
you know.
Here's my problem. I'm in denial. I don't want to, you know, I don't want that to be the case. I don't need that to be the case.
Yeah.
That's not what that misses my expectations.
Yeah. I mean, I think what happens is that everybody is looking really hard, no question about it, they're looking really hard at security. They're
it's
looking
a service
really
pack.
Hard at
it's
reliability.
Ed, it's a service pack. I'm telling you. Windows Vista is not, this is a service pack. It's a service pack.
And I'll tell you what, I'm writing Windows Vista Inside Out for Microsoft Press, so I do get, you know, I get checks that come ultimately from Microsoft, but they don't control what I say.
Hey.
But I can tell you, Inside Out is my job here, and I can tell you there's not a single page of this book that we're going to be able to pick up from the last one. It's rewritten from start to finish. It's a huge, I mean, the reason why you're finding the things that you are is because this is such a huge rewrite with so much in it.
Then how come I'm finding the same bugs and the same issues and the same inconsistencies if this is a rewrite?
Because they weren't concentrating on just... They're reusing code.
Right. Okay, so the calculator has changed. The notepad has changed. MS Paint has changed. MS Config has changed. What else have I seen that you say has changed? Because the stuff that I've seen has not changed. The horizontal scroll bar in the task manager has not changed. The task manager functionality in general, some things are new. I can detect that.
Yeah.
Some things are appreciated, being able to right-click a process and open the folder in which the executable is contained. I've noticed these things, but I also noticed the things that have not changed.
Well, but I mean, the whole file security model has changed. Explorer
has been
completely rewritten. The whole sharing...
To a fault, it's been completely rewritten.
Well,
I'm on sensory overload in some respects.
Because with the Explorer changes?
Oh, it's just... it's bad, Ed. I mean, I'm serious. It's like I got a shorter attention span to begin with. But I feel like... I mean, I opened up the search box. I'm like, holy shit. Like, stop the blinking lights, man. I just got to search for something. It was overload. It was absolute overload. I'm like, who the hell is in charge of this stuff?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of this stuff gets validated in the usability lab. And so it used to be that they listened to people like you and me. It used to be that there was very
little
feedback.
No, don't even tell me that we came up with that dog.
The search dog.
Don't even tell me.
No. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say, no. In fact, that actually proves my point. It used to be engineers came up with bizarre ideas that had no relation to the outside world. And then they showed stuff to people like you and me, and we gave them feedback on stuff that we wanted them to change, but that was mostly relevant to people who are in technical professions, you know, and the kind of, you know, magazine editors and user group presidents and stuff like that. And so who gave them sort of a geeky perspective on it. So what you used to get was bizarro ideas on usability with a bunch of geeky enhancements layered onto it, which made it a total mess. Now they're trying to identify core tasks. It's actually very disciplined. And I can give you offline the names of some people who might be interesting to talk to about this, but but they're trying to find the core tasks, and then they're working through them in the usability lab with hundreds and even thousands of like ordinary people. And so, you know, and you can watch the tapes of these things, and people actually are happy with it. They're unhappy with the search dog, and they're happy with some of the, you know, with the current version of Explorer is testing really well.
It's okay. It just needs a little polish.
Yeah.
It needs a little polish.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And it takes some time.
And I don't know whose idea it was to make 48 by 48 the default icon size now.
Yeah.
I really don't. A lot of the icons that are out there don't have 48 by 48 pictures in them. They're lucky to have 32 by 32.
Right. So they get blown up and they look all blurry and crappy.
Hellish.
Yeah.
Like nasty bad.
Yeah.
Nasty. Nasty.
Yeah. And that means that, you know, somebody needed to be hired about a year ago and have, you know, like probably 10 people, and their whole job should have just been to create beautiful icons in all the correct sizes and have them ready when each batch of code was checked
in. Well, they say that they're coming, and I believe them. They're coming with the icons, and I don't want to... That's the thing. It's like my nitpicking feedback. People are saying, oh, you're bitching about fonts and icons and all that stuff, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, but this is stuff that slips, and understand that that's just scratching the surface. I mean, there's some deeper problems that are still sitting inside the code. And I know when I dig deep, it physically pains me because what I see, you know, and remember, Ed, I still run in classic mode for a big reason. I'm running in classic mode, like the Windows interface.
What, for performance?
Well, yeah, not just for performance, but for elegance. Yeah. Classic mode is far more elegant than Luna. Luna, someone decided to go to the bathroom and said, "Ah, this is great code. Let's put it on his user interface for Windows. We'll call it Luna."
Yeah.
And we'll paint it blue.
Yeah,
and that's
I
what we ended up
the,
with.
Yeah, I, when I was
and
using
Olive,
XP,
for Christ's sake. Who the hell thought of Olive?
Right, the silver one was the only one that was worth using.
If you were going to use one.
If you were going to use one of
which
those
I'm, which I don't and will not use.
Yeah.
I'll give the glass the arrow thing. It's grown on me. There's certain aspects that I was like, yeah, I could run this over classic mode. It doesn't seem to have the same speed impact, you know, the pain that I had with Luna. You know, largely because of the rewrites with the UI and how they're handling certain element draws on the desktop.
There's a lot more sophistication in the interface here. There's a lot to like, and you know, and if you stay 3 feet away from it and just work with it and you don't have an eye for design and a really critical,
then you're a great Windows user. That's no excuse. That's apologetic. I refuse to walk down that path.
Well, you know, that's you're different. I'm just saying there's a lot of people.
But that's excusing the behavior. That's saying, oh, just because it looks kind of okay, as long as you don't like inspect it, it's fine. I think that's apologetic. I don't want to walk down that path. And understand too.
I've walked through $1 million. You know, wait, $1 million house isn't a big deal anymore. I've walked through $10 million houses where, you know, they make a dazzling impression. But then when you go, you look at the baseboard and you go, Jesus, who joined those two little pieces together there? Those look like crap. And this wiring over here, how come there's no electrical outlet on this wall? And, you know, who didn't put a hose out here? Didn't you think that people were going to want to, you know, put plants in this part and want to water them? You know, how come there's no air conditioning control in this room? I mean, the point is that building something to that 99.9 degree, you know, that 6/9 degree of visual quality and usability is really tough.
Unless you're using the old calculator that has the FPU bug.
Yeah, then you get it to 99.995.
Seven, yeah. Whatever the hell it was. I can still remember that.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably companies that went out of business because they prepared their bids using that, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised, but these are the tools that Windows ships with.
Yeah, and so in order to get from you need to be working on is getting someone to agree that there's a problem.
Well, I think people are agreeing. I think it's like I said. I think my posts have circulated on. I mean, mini Microsoft is just one of them, but I'm pretty sure they're making the rounds.
No doubt about it, and causing
some developers to go, "What is he talking about?" And other people to go, "This is exactly what I'm talking about."
Yeah, you can find out for yourself. Just check your referrer logs. You can see who's hitting. You know, you can see who's hitting it. Although a lot of the stuff gets then, you know, mirrored down inside the firewall, and you don't see that. But you can see that.
But they have to understand that my frustration is just one person's frustration, and I'm surfacing it. I'm not making anything up. I'm not making bombastic claims like Windows Vista ate my dog. I mean, this is all you can check it for yourself. I mean, that's what I'm stating.
But my point is, you have to make sure if you want to be vindicated. I think you know. I sense the vindication is a big part of this, and love of the product and wanting it to become great, you have to make sure that people inside Microsoft don't think, oh, we need to get a list of stuff to repaint. They need to understand that their process is broken, and they need to find a way to get this stuff right at the beginning.
The only way that's going to happen is if I walk in there and say, it's going to cost you $2 million to hire me a year. Yeah. And this is, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Because otherwise, if I go in there and do it for free, that's exactly how much the advice is worth.
Yeah. No,
seriously.
They need to have somebody on staff who owns this and who has the talent to do it and the authority to make it happen down the line and back up. Look, this stuff's easy to do if you do it at the beginning of the process, not at the end, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, you've done stuff for print and you know, and for the web, where somebody does a crappy, sloppy job, and
it's easier to redo it the whole thing.
It's easier to just start over
again.
And redo it than to try and clean it up.
Yep, you know? That's happened.
And you don't use that person again. You know, or you change their role, so all they're producing is raw text that gets poured in.
Well, see, that's probably another problem inside of Microsoft. People don't always get fired; they just get moved.
Exactly, and that's Minnie's point of view.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of the people who get moved around, you know, are the ones who are creating the code that you're not happy with.
Maybe you could clarify this for me. When Minnie had referenced my post, it was nice. It was good to see. I was like, wow, okay, so you know, obviously people are paying attention. When he referenced it, he said he was making reference of the way certain like Vista teams worked, or the way like almost like an assembly line rather than going back and doing things a different way. And I wasn't sure. I didn't quite understand that.
Well, he's saying the same thing that I'm saying here, and the same thing that you were just saying about people who should be fired rather than kept around. You know, when you've got, you know, 50 or 100 or however many teams are checking in code, some of them are going to be substandard. They're going to be doing, you know, they have lousy processes,
so
they have a lousy sense of aesthetics, and nobody is looking hard at their code when it comes in.
So Microsoft shouldn't be mad at me for this stuff?
No.
All right.
They're not going to be.
No, they can't be. I mean, I'm telling them as a customer what I need.
Absolutely.
No. Unabashedly so, and rather directly, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
The funny thing is now.
The only way to get their attention is not through sugar anymore. It's just not.
2x4s.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, if you did this to Apple, they would be pissed off at you.
Oh, of course. Well, if I did this to Apple, it would be a brick wall. I mean, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, you'd be, you know, whatever little. They'd say, what's that sound of screaming that we hear on the other side of the brick wall there? It's interfering with our sushi break, you know. But Microsoft has always, 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 in my experience, listened to criticism, and they've taken negative feedback well. The problem is that at this stage in the development process, the kind of feedback that
but Ed, this is the vicious circle. Is they tell me the kind of feedback is useless at this point. They push me off to the next one and then tell me, oh, we're not going to worry about UI until the end.
What did I tell you at the very beginning?
Damn it, it's a vicious circle.
That's the thing. They're right. If they're going to ship the product, all they can do is try and go through your list and fix the things that they can fix without breaking too much. But you really need to get somebody's attention and say, look,
I'm trying.
When Alpha 1 of Vienna comes out, I want to be able to see an Alpha 1. Holy shit, this is beautiful. I only found, you know, I had to look really hard to find three visual inconsistencies in this. You know, that's what you need. I mean, that's the only way that you're going to get anything, because you're going to go through the vicious cycle. At the very beginning of the design process, people say, oh, well, we're not going to worry about UI. We're going to concentrate on the engineering and the features now. And then they get into the middle, and they're overwhelmed by bugs, and so, well, we can't concentrate on the UI now. And then they get to the end, and they say, sorry, we got to ship this thing. Right? And so there's never a time when anyone is actually taking it seriously.
I don't know. It sounds like we're going to have to agree to agree.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what. The next time I'm up there meeting with them, I will make your case to as many people as I can.
But it sounds like it's certainly causing some ripples. I've had a few Microsofties contact me and say, you know, thank me. And the people that don't quite get it, I think the people who are most offended are developers or the people who are responsible for the problems themselves.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, that's how I feel. I really do.
They only see zeros and ones.
Yeah, and those aren't. That's not my audience.
Right.
That's talking to a brick wall.
That's like talking to a brick wall, and you want them to write good zeros and ones.
Yeah.
And then you want them to hand their stuff to somebody who will make it not just pretty, but perfect.
Yes.
And then it gets checked in, and somebody says, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and they kick it back, and that gets fixed. And then, boom, it's checked in, and it's right, and QA doesn't have to, you know, mess with it.
This is what I'm saying.
I knew we would wind up on. We're on the same page.
Except I'm right about that task manager thing. You have to understand that what I was saying.
Okay.
It's a semantic thing, but you understand that when you close that task manager.
I now understand what you meant.
All right. That's what I meant. I understand. I understand. I can move the sideways scroll bar.
You can fix it. You can fix
yes,
it
I can fix it once. And yep. then opening it up again. Okay, here's the thing that drives me up the wall. Resize the task manager and open it up again. And the sideways scroll bar is still there.
Yep.
Oh, it drives me up the wall.
Exactly.
Up the wall. Up
exactly
the
right.
wall. I'm like, God, do you not... here's the thing. I don't need it. It doesn't need to be there visually at all, functionally at all. It doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, I swear to God. I want to cry. I laugh so hard I want to cry.
Well, fortunately, Alchin said this week that they're adding a couple of new features to Task Manager for RC1, so the code has to be hit anyway. So this is one place where you have an opportunity to get this one fixed.
You know, the meeting I'm having this week, it's an informal dinner that Lily is offering to do. She's invited a couple of people. From, I guess, Vista's UI team, even though I'm trying to get someone from Outlook. I really need to find someone from Outlook. Vista's UI team, one of the guys is named Brad. He's got tattoos. I can't remember his last name because I haven't met him yet.
Yeah.
But we're basically, they've filed all the bugs that I've issued. They've filed them. They've got them in so that they can be reported upon and against. I'm not saying they're going to be fixed necessarily, but they're going to be filed. We're essentially going to, you know, open up a bottle of wine and sit there in front of Windows Vista and, oh, that might not be a good thing. You may end up with something worse by RC1 if that happens. No, we're going to literally sit down and I'm going to pick it apart, like, and telling him exactly everything that I see and what's wrong, what's right, what's here, what's there, and then get these things filed. So there is... I'm not dismissing it. There is hope at least for some window painting. It's knowing where we're going to be able to go from here. That is still my question, and I'm going to be a relentless bastard about until I'm going to be on a jihad until this the process gets
because
fixed.
Because you know what, they're already working on Vienna now.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you know there are people working on that now, which means there'll be an alpha of Vienna, you know, months after some. Small number of months after Vista ships, right? And so...
Yeah, and it'll all be in managed code. God, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. I seriously, man, that was... You want to talk about biting off more than you could chew. I mean, man.
Get some faith. Look, how many dinners and meetings did Alchin have with... bloggers and other
he had a few. He had one in San Francisco and then one with the Windows community people. I think I probably overwhelmed him. I admittedly with the feedback that I gave, but it's only because I care. I mean, I'm not doing it because I'm trying to be a prick at all.
At all.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't say anything. That's what hurts me when I see people calling me a nitpicker. I'm like, well, no one else is doing it.
No, my main point was I couldn't quite figure out. I couldn't quite suss out what the main point is because of
bitching. I needed to get it off my chest. I needed to mark it down somewhere and get someone's attention.
Fair enough.
I mean, honestly, and that's why I wrote. You know, I wrote out 65, and then I started going. I'm like, oh, there's 67. I'm like, all right, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, I threw it all in there, and there, like I said, there's some good stuff in there. It's just I either felt it was buried or put in the wrong place. Like it took me forever. I knew what I was looking for, and I just couldn't find it.
So why don't you tell Alchin that you want dinner with him? One-on-one.
Oh God! If he'd throttle me,
no,
I'd never be seen again.
No, he wouldn't. All you have to do is say, "Look, you can ensure your legacy by making sure that somebody owns this thing and gets it right at the beginning of Vienna." And they're working on it now. He can do that before he leaves. You know, January 1st. Telling you, this is your opportunity, man. The guy's responding to your emails.
Yeah, but he's disappointed in the way because I didn't say enough good things about Vista. He was disappointed, but I couldn't. I mean, there are some things that I'm seeing, but I think he was upset that I think his words, and they were good words, and I understand his perspective, And I respect Jim so much. I respect him more now than I ever did before. I mean, honestly. I mean, he was human before, but he's even more human to me now. And I respect his position, and I empathize with his position. Even though I will never be in the same position, I completely understand and respect.
Well, look, then, I will send him a link to this, you know, to the archived version of this segment. Say, Jim, listen to this, and then, you know, call Chris, call me, get us into your office before you retire, your chance. Ensure your legacy. Get this fixed before you head out the door.
Well, he was just disappointed because I wasn't highlighting where things were shining.
Yeah, well,
and I'm waiting for him to shine. I really am.
He'll get over that.
Oh, he'll get over it. But there will come a time where I will come out and say these are the things that kick ass in Vista. I don't know what they're going to be because I'm still waiting. I'm like, this is not what I was expecting 7 years later. This is what I would be expecting maybe 2 years later.
Yeah,
not seven. I, in all honesty, that's why I feel it's just not it's not blowing me away.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting. I'm really, and I know I shouldn't, but I'm just waiting to be wowed by an RC or by gold RTM.
Well, I mean, basically, what you see is it. You know, there's going to be, you know, a few new little things added, but it's not like they're holding something back. Like,
man, they've screwed up so much. I don't even want to go into where they've screwed up Windows Calendar. I mean, it's just so. I swear to God, it
version
fell,
one, yeah,
it
version.
Fell out of the ugly tree and it. No, don't even give me this version one crap. Picasa version one kicked ass.
Yep.
Picasa today version two kicks ass.
Yep.
I don't believe in the version one. Sorry. There have been enough companies out there that have completely. iMedia Man version one. It's still on version one. Kicks ass.
Right. And what are the things about those? Those are little tiny self-contained teams that don't have to deal with any bureaucracy. Can hire and fire, you know, whoever they want, and can put together a kick-ass team to do it. Do you think that Windows Calendar was coded? God, I'm probably offending the hell out of the Windows Calendar team. You know, sorry about that, because I don't know who you guys are, but, you know, they're not the superstars of code at Microsoft. They're either the new guys or the guys who they put them there so they couldn't screw up anything important, right? I mean, that's the conclusion that you can draw from the results of the thing there. And that's when you asked what Mini was talking about, that's what he's talking about. You know, that you got teams like that are producing this, and people are going to say, it's okay. You know? It's Chinatown, Jake.
I hold them to a higher standard. I really do, and maybe I shouldn't. Yeah. Maybe that's my mistake. I mean, maybe it is my shortcoming that I'm disappointed. Maybe I was expecting too much. I think I'm fully entitled to expect too much. I believe I am. As a power user who see things, I mean, I know it. I've already impacted Vista. You know, when you highlight on the desktop now in Vista, how you get the nice shade that you could in Windows XP in an Explorer window, but you couldn't on the desktop?
Yeah.
Hello? Hi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him. I said, why aren't you doing it? Oh, well, I've already impacted Vista in so many ways.
Yeah.
I already know I have. And that to me, that's fine. It's great. I'm always going to want more. I'm always, as a power user, I'm always going to want more.
And they're always going to be falling short, I'm afraid. Because you're always going to set the bar way higher than they can.
But, you know, I've worked with developers who always exceed my expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, they take my feedback, they respond to feedback, and explain, you know, certain elements why they could work or won't work or need a little more work. Nick Bradbury is a classic example. Of a developer who he's a rock star.
Another example is a rock star. Feed Demon is, like, you know, masterful, wonderful,
and it's not perfect
stuff. It's not perfect.
Not perfect.
It's, you know,
but I'm willing to cut him some slack.
Yeah.
Because he's not a big company.
But exactly right, and that's another reason. I mean, maybe Microsoft needs to be split up.
Yeah. Hey. I was never one to believe that the whole DOJ thing or whatever, but if it's going to make their product better, if it's going to make it shine, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
honestly.
Maybe the company might just have gotten company might just have gotten too big.
If it's smaller teams, if it's less middle management, whatever it takes to make what they're doing a million times better, I wish they'd do it. I really do. And I think that they haven't had competition for a while, and I think OS X on the Intel platform is going to provide enough fire under their foot that they're going to start moving.
All right, Chris. I'm gonna fly up there, you know, sometime this summer, maybe the end of summer. You and I will go march over to Altshin's office and lay down the law.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of the Chris Perillo Show, enter code Chris1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.